Sister Jennifer, said please pray for Sister Jennifer. She had an accident and fractured her left ankle. She's dealing with the pain and inconvenience when using a walking boot. So I just was thinking when I read this, I thought, well, you know, every time she thinks about whatever comes into her mind, it'll always be that the victory is won. It'll always be that way, because we know how the devil is. He'll try to put a negative thought there, and with Brother Ken, you know, but I just believe the victory's won. I believe he can do it. We just like to stand, and we just...
Brother offer. Chuck?
Yes, sir.
Remember a friend of mine, he was a mayor of the town of Millery, Alabama.
Yes, sir.
When I first went to Katrina, he put me up for nothing.
Okay.
And he's now in the hospital in the ICU unit, not expected to live. Let's pray that God will do some work for him, since he blessed me.
Okay. Who's that? You. Okay. Well, let's pray. Dear God, Lord, we just come before you knowing that you can meet every need, Lord. We couldn't do it, Lord, on our own, Lord, but you gave us the authority, Lord, to come before and to speak in your name, Lord. You said that, you know, we came to you, Lord, and we did as you know. Lord, we just present ourselves before you knowing, Lord, that we can't do it. And so, dear God, we just ask you to touch Brother Richard and heal him completely of this bronchitis, Lord. We just open his passageways, Lord, and his lungs, Lord, and just clear out all the things, you know, anything that would obstruct him, Lord God. We just ask that you touch him, Lord God. And Brother Gary, you know, that's been such a blessing to him. We ask you to touch that brother, Lord, just knowing that he's right on the edge, Lord. And it may be something, Lord, that you can do through someone, Lord, that makes a difference, Lord. And we just ask you to be able to speak it and be able to do it for him and comfort him, Lord. We just ask you to be with Brother Ken, just knowing, Lord, that he believes you, Lord, with all his heart, Lord. And Lord, and we just ask that you would reward him openly, Lord, for it. And just like it. I believe Charity, she had mentioned how she had listened to a tape, and she only did what, Brother, you know, what the Spirit led her to do, Lord, and you delivered her completely, Lord, and Sandy as well, Lord. So you still hear prayer, Lord. You still a God of mercy and grace and love. So we ask you too, Lord, to touch Sister Jennifer. We just know you've healed so many, Lord. We just ask you to touch our sister and grant. We know that she believes, Lord, in our brother. So we just knowing they agreed together, Lord, surely, Lord, that you would do it, Lord. And you said if any agree, you know, on these things, you know, to agree, that it would be done of my Father which is in heaven. So we just ask you to do these things now. And also bless our brother Matt. He's on the road. And Brother Dale, we just ask you to touch them and bless them too, Lord. And we just ask you to bless your tithes and offerings now for your storehouse. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's have Sister Brenda come. Sister Brenda, if you come, you may be seated.
Just suppose God searched through heaven, couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed. By eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross. Had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. And I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," and I'm so glad he never called heaven's angels from these hands, pull the nails that torment me. For a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
Amen. Let us stand. Amen. As Brother Jason comes, let's sing a little bit of In Moments Like These. We sing out a song. Amen. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands, I lift up my hands to you, Lord, singing, I love you, Lord, singing, I love you, Lord.
One more. Oh my, that's so beautiful. Singing, I love you.
I love you, Lord.
Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're happy to be here in the house of God today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you're unhappy to be here, tell them that and maybe they'll pray for you and you'll be happy to be here. Amen. Praise God. I sure am happy to be here this morning. Glad to see all of your smiling faces. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I had a, I don't know if you got that from Brother Mike Alderson. Brother Kenny sent it to him. Brother Mike also texted me, going to offer prayer this morning for Sister Jennifer Alderson, our dear sister who we all know, and she apparently had a fall and fractured her ankle. So she has pain and inconvenience with a walking boot. So I told Brother Mike that we would, amen, appeal her case to the Master. Amen. Amen. To call on the Lord to bring speedy recovery. You know, I'm so glad. Oftentimes I've made the comment, so glad Jesus multiplies. My goodness. It means he can multiply the speed of healing. He can multiply the speed of deliverance. He can, you know, we're going to find out this morning that he doesn't always just do everything in a moment by a miracle. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a miracle if he always did miracles. Amen? So he doesn't always do miracles, but he always heals. He always saves. He always answers prayer. And so sometimes, you know, we're going to read in Exodus here in a minute how that he even told Israel, he said, now I'm not going to drive out the enemy just all in one year for you. He said, but little by little, because I need the struggle. I need you to fight. I need you to press. See? So Paul had quite a bit of wisdom when he said, hey, let's press toward the mark. And everybody's like, oh no, why don't the Lord just put me there? Nope. It's not going to work like that. The Lord needs you and me to press. Jesus had to press. Amen? The divine Son of God had to learn obedience by the things he suffered. That blows fuses. I've never gotten my mind around that one fully. But, you know, I realize that the Bible teaches us, Paul said of his own self, he said, I make up in my body the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Because we realize that Jesus didn't go through all of the trials and suffering. He left a measure of it for his bride. Because she too will have to learn obedience through trials, tribulations. Jesus said, you'll have it in the world. You're going to have tribulations. Not maybe. You will. The enemy will come. You will be hated of all men for my name's sake. You'll have tribulation, but cheer up, smile, it'll be okay. We're Christians. Jesus overcome the world, didn't he? So, hey, if you're in him, you can't lose. Amen. You know, it's amazing the devil can't win. Amen. We were dealing with that. Was that Brother Maurice that preached that here recently? And I said I was 54-0. That Brother Maurice, wasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm undefeated in battle. Because you say, well, how do you? What do you mean? You made mistakes. I have. I've stumbled, but I didn't stay down. The fact you say, well, how do we know you didn't stay down? Well, here I am. I'm Christian. I love the Lord. I'm serving God. So I didn't stay down. So I might have fell. I might have stumbled. I might have got knocked down. I might have tripped over my own 2 feet. Amen. I might have smashed my head into a beam that I put there and I wasn't supposed to. Come on. Come on. All right. I may have stepped in a hole I dug and wasn't supposed to dig it and did and stepped in it myself. Hey, how many? See, but you know what? I didn't stay down. I got back up, which means I wasn't defeated. I only fell, but I wasn't defeated. So today we stand victorious, undefeated in combat. Praise the Lord. The army of the Lord Jesus Christ. The army who has never known defeat. Praise the name of the Lord. So, Jesus says, hey, the devil can't win. Because every time he knocks you down, you learn from it. Brother Caleb brought that out in a senior youth meeting some months ago, and it's never left me. That even for this reason, the devil would rather you just not fight. Wasn't that it, Brother Caleb? He'd rather discourage you from fighting. He'd just rather you just say, oh, I just can't do it. Because then he don't have to fight you. Because then if he fights you, even if he knocks you down, you still win. Because when you get back up, you're smarter, you're wiser, you learn, and he loses. So Satan could win if he wasn't always losing. He could actually pull off a win, except he always loses. So even if he strikes me down, I rise up. More powerful. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Kev. More powerful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's go to Exodus 23. And when we read our scripture, we'll pray for Sister Jennifer. Amen. Exodus 23. And we've been dealing with this real estate here in Exodus 23 for a number of services. And the Lord just keeps beckoning me back here. And I keep trying to move on. And he just keeps pulling me back. And you realize right fast when you've ran out ahead of him and you turn around and he's standing back there. You know, come on back. We're not finished. Okay. Let's go get finished then. Praise the Lord. But there's no end to the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? No end to His glories. No end to His revelation. No end to understanding Him. And you know, you're part of that, friends. We have a part of that. We're part of that whole hidden manna. Brother Branham said, you know, it had an application in the Middle Ages where it was promised. I'll give you, you know, the hidden manna, he told the church age. I believe the Pergamian age, that might bear correction, but I believe it was Pergamus. And he, you know, Brother Branham said it had an application there. But really, that was just a small application. The real application would carry on in future ages. And even after this age, in the eternal ages to come, he will continue to unfold the mystery of himself. So I just that means that you know, a lot of times say, I don't understand God. Well, a lot of times you don't understand you. See, you don't understand why this has happened to your life and why that's happened to your life. But you know something, Brother Branham said, you will. By and by, every question you ever had, it's going to be answered. You'll begin to understand. The Bible teaches us that you'll know if you follow on to know. So it's always a going forward, friends. That's why denominationalism is bad. It's just bad. It traps you from going forward. And so God is always, ever, ever unfolding himself. And you want to always bear that in mind. You want to always be growing. You want to always be learning. You get people, the Bible says, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's just a matter of surrender. They learn, but they can't surrender to it. I want a heart of surrender today. Amen. Exodus 23, we'll just read the first verse. We'll pray and let you be seated. We're going to read verse 20. Exodus 23:20. We'll read this one verse. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared, the place I have fixed, the place I have arranged. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. And Lord, I stand here today aware of your continuing desire to expound truth from these passages. So now I'm depending on you today, Lord. It's even continuing to unfold to me, even Lord, even before as I'm coming to the pulpit, it's continuing to unfold. More and more things are occurring to me. So I'm just trusting you now. It's all in your hands. And Master, we have a special petition this morning for our dear sister Jennifer Alderson. Lord, stumble, fracture an ankle. But Lord, you multiply speed. May you multiply the speed of her healing. May she be recovered quickly. Release her from the pain, Lord, and cause this trial to go through quickly. Father, may it be so. May you remember our sister today with a special affection. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I want to, just by way of reminder, brothers, to remind you of the announcement we sent out. And Brother George will be receiving your RSVP to be able to go on our sailing trip that's coming up on a Saturday, the 24th of this month. So be honest before we know. And that's that thing where in our men's meeting, our Saturday men's meeting, we're not going to do all of them at night. Occasionally, we're going to put in a morning service, a morning time to meet and have an activity. So that's going to be coming up very quickly, February 24 on a Saturday. So please make sure if you're able to do that, get with Brother George, because we want to be able to invite Brother Samuel and those brothers, Brother Blue, and those brothers, Brother Maurice and all them. And so the craft only holds so many. So we want to give Bethel Tabernacle Brothers first dibs on that. So get that in, because I'll be inviting those other churches probably in about another week. We'll turn that loose, and hopefully you'll have your spot reserved. Amen. We're supplementing a large portion of the cost to make it affordable for you. Brother George personally put in some for that. We took some out of the youth fund, and I've put in a little bit. Also, other businessmen have contributed to that to make it affordable to supplement the cost so that everybody, all the brothers, could be able to go and get the cost down to a manageable amount. Amen. All right. Exodus chapter 20. Now, we're looking into our thought today, and I want to have this title today, The Way of the Tree of Life. So we want to call that today The Way of the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life, as we were speaking of in our Sunday school class this morning, the Tree of Life is a person. How many know who the person is? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is, and he said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the tree of life is a way. Amen? And it's a truth. Amen? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the tree of life then is a way and a truth that leads to a person. You understand? It's the truth of that person, and it's the way of that person. Now, when we talk about way, as we've spoken times in past, from the book of Genesis, cherubims were there to guard the way of the tree of life. And so, you know, it's not guarding a path to the tree of life. It's not a geographical GPS coordinated location, a path to a physical tree of life, but it's the way of the tree of life. So what is the way? It's his truth. It's his life. So he has guarded the way. He has guarded the truth. He has guarded the life, because the life comes by the truth, which produces a way. You got me? Is that easy enough for you? So you can see then that's why the Bible has the audacity to teach so clearly, and we've preached on this many times. I don't need it as a lesson today, but the new birth, being born again, comes always without exception. Everybody that ever found acceptance in the presence of God only found that by following the truth. You understand? It is your belief and your surrender and your acceptance of God's true word for whatever age you're in. That is the pathway to life. And there is no other pathway to that. You cannot find acceptance in the presence of God by rejecting his truth. Amen? Amen? So we realize then that that there's a way, and there's a truth, and there's a life. And so when he says here, behold, I send an angel. It doesn't tell you which angel is he sending. Is he going to send Gabriel? Is he going to send Wormwood? Is it going to be Michael? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that one? We don't know until we get down to a couple other verses. Watch what he says here. Let's have it on the screen, brothers. And we're going to keep this up. And we're going to go verse by verse, kind of expository today. So behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. So now, this is the way of God. This is not keeping you on the trail to the promised land. The promised land wasn't hard to find, and it wasn't very far. That was never the issue. The issue, it's not a battle, friends, for you to get to heaven. What is the battle is to stay in the way. You understand? That's where the devil attacks you. Heaven is only a dimensional doorway away. Brother Branham got off of his bed and walked across a bedroom floor into heaven. That's why the Bible says he be not far. See, the Bible says that. He's not galaxies and galaxies and light years away. That he's right there. And Brother Branham simply walked the three or five or six steps from his bed and walked through a dimensional window and he was in heaven. Paul doesn't even record walking anywhere. He just says, I was caught up into the third heaven. John doesn't record ever leaving the island of Patmos. He just simply says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and boom, there I was. See? So we realize that getting to heaven is not far. Getting to heaven, getting there is not hard. Where the devil attacks you is staying in the way that leads to heaven. And the way is not a trail or a path. The way is a truth. The way is a life. The way is Christ. The way is the Word. And it's not rocket science. He will reveal himself to all humble hearts who desire him to reveal himself to. So he's never turned down that kind of humility. In fact, is the right approach to God literally can seemingly do the impossible. Listen, friends, seemingly it was impossible for the Syrophoenician woman to get anything from Jesus. She was a Gentile. And he had just got through telling his disciples. You're talking about Jesus looking like a hypocrite. He had just said to his disciples, do not go to the Gentiles. We're only here for the lost sheep of Israel. And then this woman comes and Jesus won't even talk to her. And so she starts pleading with his lieutenants. And they say to Jesus, man, she's wearying us. Please cast her, rebuke her, send her away. And he says, it's not meet for me to give the children's bread, Israel's bread, to these Gentile dogs. And she overheard that. But she was so desperate and she was so sincere and she was so willing to humble herself and not get offended at being called a dog that she just says, she speaks up. Here she's standing over here and Jesus isn't even looking at her. He's talking to the disciples. I can't even talk to her. I just told you not to go to her. It's not for her. This is the children's bread. And she says, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Jesus is literally pulled out of his dispensation. Now he turns and says, oh woman, I've not seen that kind of faith in all of Israel. Her faith literally pulled him seemingly out of his own plan. He wasn't even supposed to go to her yet. It was running ahead of the whole program, but he could not resist that kind of faith. Oh Lord, give me that kind of humility today. Give me that kind of faith today to say, Lord, I'm coming. I've got a need and I'm not going to be denied. Hallelujah. You might deserve that trial. You might deserve that punishment. But he's a God of mercy. And you can say, Lord, it's true. I do deserve it, but help me, Jesus. And he will. He has. And now he can't. Now that he's set that precedent, he can't respect persons, see. Once we found out a secret, that woman taught us a great secret. You ought to thank her on that day, friends. You ought to hunt that lady down and say, hey, I really appreciate you revealing that military secret to us. We'd have never known that had you not let it out. And I practiced that all through my life and it helped me. So there is a way. There is a truth. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring. Who's going to bring them? The angel. You think you can get yourself to heaven? You don't stand a chance. You don't even have any chance. You don't even need to even start. You say, well, why emphasize it? Because millions and millions and millions of people who sit in what the Bible called having a form of godliness, they deny the power. Remember? You're supposed to turn away from that. They literally are trying to get themselves to heaven by their works, by their membership, by their, you know, by signing a declaration, by following a creed. And that is, that way is completely cut off. Because God set that standard in Adam, nobody in a fallen condition can get to the tree of life. You must be born again. You have no access to the tree of life. You have no way to get there. Join a church. Go ahead. Join the choir. Go ahead. Be the pastor. Won't do you one bit of good. You cannot get to the tree of life without being born again. Once Adam fell, the way was guarded. Lest Adam could turn around and go back and find and eat of the tree and live forever in a fallen condition. If it could be done that way, then anybody who just picked up a Bible and said, Jesus is the Son of God, died for my sins, and not really make any firm commitment to Him, just make a mental decision, then heaven could be inundated with people like that. And when you get to heaven, you'd have to share it again with a mixed multitude. And friends, I am done with a mixed multitude. I want a land where everybody's a believer. I want a land where everybody's got faith. Everybody's all for one and one for all. And we're all there for righteousness' sake. Hallelujah. It's going to be this earth. It's going to be civilization. It's going to be this. Brother Ramsey said, we're going to live. We're going to life. But there won't be no sin there. Thank God. Hallelujah. We won't have to deal with those things. And so he is keeping them in the way to bring them into the place which I have prepared. We dealt with that last week, how that he says, I have almost in past tense prepared. But it really, the land was anything but prepared. I mean, enemy were there. They were going to have to fight and shed blood and risk their lives and go through trials. But we showed you last Sunday how that word prepared prepares you. It's a prepared. God speaking as if it's already past tense. And yet the people weren't prepared. The land wasn't prepared. But they were going to, by taking the land, they were going to become prepared, and then the land is prepared, and God saw it in the future. You understand? So he says to you, Jesus says, I go away to prepare a place that where I am you may be also, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus already knows you're going to be prepared. He knows you're going to win. He knows you're going to have the victory. He's already got his side of it done. You're getting your side of it done, and we're going to have a jubilee around the Father's throne. There is no doubt, friends. I've said to you before, and you might think it's tongue in cheek, but it's really not. If you are that elect lady, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you have believed all of God's word, and from your heart, I say amen to every word. I know your flesh don't always meet the grade. I get that. We all make mistakes. But if from your heart you desire every bit of righteousness God has, then I'm here to tell you, you've passed from death into life. You are going in the rapture, and there is nothing you can do about it. So that sounds like a... So are you threatening me? No, that's a promise. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's prepared. And that's why Brother Branham would say it's a prepared place for a prepared people. You're part of the preparation. You're part of that. The whole, it's a prepared place for a prepared people. So that should explain all your trials and tribulations. That should explain to you why sometimes the devil looks like he can get a victory in your life. See? Because as we say, even though you might stumble, even though you might fall, that's not a defeat. That's not a victory for him. You understand? Your stumbling is not a victory for him. He only gets victory, and you only get defeat when you lay there. As soon as you stand up, raise a hand to God in true repentance and say, Lord, help me, forgive me, cleanse me, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. I'm here to tell you, you're right back in the battle. You've literally stole victory from the enemy. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgressions. Now, look, it's going to identify him. For my name is in him. Now we know who the angel is. See, now we know that it's not Gabriel. Because God is saying, behold, I send an angel and my name is in him. So now we know this is none other than the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's angel. This is God. You know, people say, well, you know, how does that work? You know, an angel, when we talk about Michael, and Michael is Christ. And I just, to me, it's never been that complicated. I just say, look, so when God got ready to move among humans, what did he turn himself into? A human. To move among humans. So when God moves among angels, what form do you imagine he would take? An angel. So Brother Bram said Michael was Christ. You see? So the Lord would say, I'm going to send an angel, but I'm going to identify him to you. My name is in him. Now, it's interesting because I had some thinking as I was looking over all of this. When we find out that his name is in him, he will not pardon your transgressions. Remember, you say, well, wow, then good grief. Then I don't stand a chance because I got all kinds of transgressions. Remember, sin only takes one form. Unbelief. Unbelief. He will not pardon unbelief. You understand? You do make mistakes. Listen, friends, if he was never going to pardon Israel's mistakes, then Moses would have been finished. Because Moses rebelled. Do you know rebellion is akin to witchcraft in the Bible? Moses literally, out of pride, rebelled against God, and God reminded him of that rebellion, and he took glory to himself, which basically just, you know, made himself, took more upon himself and diminished God. But you know what? We find him again on Mount Transfiguration. Brother Bram said, sometime between there and then, God restored him back, because we find him, Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses. They come back and wrote us a letter and said, hey, I saw him there. Peter said, no, this wasn't a myth. This wasn't a fantasy. We actually saw him. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The prophets, Job said he saw him, but Job only saw him in a vision. I, Peter, am writing you in my own hand to tell you, no, I didn't see a vision. I saw him. I saw him literally. I have a more sure word of prophecy than Job had. You see, the Bible, Malachi saw the seventh angel standing here by vision. But we are eyewitnesses of what God has done in this day. Zechariah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all these different ones, John on the island of Patmos, they wrote about the day you and I would live in. But we're actually here. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Because we've seen the real God living in this real world and dealing with real issues of our lives. So he says, he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. And I thought about that. You know, the only way prescribed for God's family to go was the tree of life, which is, as we've said, the way of the word, which is the way of God in Christ. Amen. Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word. Amen. Was with God and was God. The same was made flesh and dwelt among us. Right? So, what was Jesus? He was the Word. So, we find then that God is saying to his family that the only way prescribed for my family to go is by the tree of life, the way of the Word, which is the way of God in Christ. And so, that principle then literally gets established in Genesis, and God never changes his mind about his word, and God never changes his ways. He's always the same. So then when we look at what we see happening today, you know, Brother Branham uses descriptive language, and he'll use the word drama. So, you know, we have I just pulled a few up, and this is just a sampling chronologically from 49. I'll give you four or five of them here. There's many, many, many more than this, but I just pulled a few up for time's sake this morning. Watch what Brother Branham talks about. In 1949, the deity of Jesus Christ. Watch this. The hour has come now that when the great drama, The great drama, picture of God set forth of the latter rain. Joel said, in the last days it shall come to pass that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He's calling Joel's prophecy that we see it fulfilled today. Joel wrote the script, but it never got played out until the time of the appointed prophecy, when time met prophecy. And then Peter identifies this baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are now in the drama of what Joel wrote about. Amen. He says further in 1949 in the deity of Jesus Christ, but look, friends, the hour has come and is now that when God's great drama is set here before us. What is it? What's the drama? The Son of God that was in the cradle is in the heart now. He is the deity of God. He is God the Creator. That deity, that God, that Creator is not in a manger anymore. He's in people. This is the great drama. He's in people and he's living out the drama in his family. He says in 1952, hear ye him. And as God was setting this great drama down for, he's talking about now, he's got Peter, James, and John on Mount Transfiguration. All right, you're with me in the Bible? And they see Moses and Elijah said, God was setting, because every drama has a setting. If you ever have seen any type of a movie set or a live performance, man, they've got to, for hours, they got to set that thing up. All the parts have to be in place. He says, God was setting this great drama. Down from the heavens come Moses, down come Elijah, and there was Christ, three heavenly witnesses. Is that the drama? That would have been pretty amazing. Would you agree? For Jesus to appear on a mountain with Moses and Elijah, wouldn't that wow? Wouldn't that wow? See? But is he finished? No. He also needs earthly witnesses. So he brings Peter, James, and John, three earthly witnesses. God was going to do something, and he was going to let it be known by the witnesses of heaven and the witnesses of earth. Listen, friends. You might not understand the trials you go through, but could I suggest to you today that perhaps he wants you to be a witness in a fiery trial, to be a witness of his great deliverance. He wants you to be a player. He wants you to be a participant. He wants you to be an actor in the scene of this great drama so that someday he can show the devil and play it back for the whole world to see that, yes, believers went through trials, but they overcome. By the word of their testimony, by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? He says now further in 1958, watchman, what of the night? And the Antichrist, watch. He has his subject setting there. He has the communism. He has the different isms. He has churchism. That's a funny word. Churchism. He has Catholicism. He has Protestantism. He has everything set to make a great show. But I'm so glad that there's a Father in heaven who has his characters set too for this great drama. When the Antichrist takes them into this disease of everything, even to time, God is ready in his drama to lift his church into eternity, into the blissful realms of the eternity with God himself. We're part of a great drama, friends. Watch what he comes to in 1964 from the unveiling of God. I'll read this one finally. Remember, between the Son of God and the Laodicean age, they put him out. And in Luke, he said he would be revealed again as Son of Man, the prophet fulfilling the rest of it. See, the scriptures tie perfectly together. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. What was it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form in morphe. He just changed it. It's a great drama to him. He is acting it out. Follow that now. It's a great drama to him. And he's acting it out. How's he acting it out? In you and I. So friends, what we find is there's a great epic drama for the ages starring God. Let me say it a little further. There's a great epic drama being played out before the world, starring God as his family. Who's it star? God as his family. That's who the stars are. It's God in Christ, by his word, in his family, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's an epic drama being played out, starring God in his family. Hallelujah. You are literally that way of the tree of life to the world in this epic drama. And so he's bringing it now. He says, I send an angel. He'll keep you in the way I've prepared. Beware of him. Obey his voice. See, my name is in him. So how do you have, verse 21 on the screen, please. So then how do you have this guide and protector? Now listen, I'm going to ask you questions. So then if he says, my name is in him, this guide. You got me? He's a guide. He's taking you somewhere. He's going to keep you in the way and take you to a prepared land, which means he's going to prepare you for a prepared land. All right? How many want to go? Are you willing to suffer the preparation? You got to be prepared. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. I could ask the whole world, how many want to go to heaven? The whole world would raise their hand. I say, how many are willing to be prepared for it? See? And they might say, oh, count me in, until you start going down the word. Until you start saying, well, now, okay, but here's his way. Here's his way for men to act. Here's his way for women to act. Here's his way for his church to act. Here's a way for marriages to act. Here's a way for teenagers to act. Here's a way for to do business. Here's a way. And people start going, oh, man, wow. Ooh, goodness gracious. Really? I got to give up all that? Well, no. Only if you want to go to the prepared place. Because he's not going to force you there. If you don't want to go through to the prepared place, then just don't go. See? Just don't go. But I want to go. And so I'm willing to take the prepared way to get me to the prepared place for a prepared person. I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared. I love holiness. I love righteousness. It's nothing about gritting my teeth. It's nothing about agony. It's nothing about anguish. It's nothing about hardship. The only time I grit my teeth in agony is when I step out of the way of preparation. See? So now, if he says my name is in him, then a fair question, a fair series of questions would be these. If he says my name is in him, this one who's preparing the way, who's going to keep you in the way, and who's going to take you to this land, how do you have this guide? Is he a guide? And protector? Is he a protector? And a provider? How many know him as a provider? Then how do you have this guide and protector and provider if you don't have access to his name? Then do you see why we needed a message in this day to restore the name? Because the name is not just a name like my name or your name. The name is the whole essence of God. He said, obey the angel. My name is in him. And that literally meant God's person. God is synonymous with his name. His name is his word. His name is his person. How are you going to have access to this provider, this protector, and this guide if you are rejecting the revelation of his name? Because you then are rejecting the revelation of his person. See? We dealt with in our Sunday school class about similar fruit on the mixed tree. Remember? We showed how an orange tree, there when Brother Branham was speaking to Brother George Sheridan, he's got the, here's an orange tree growing lemons and grapefruits. See, those were similar fruit. They weren't the original fruit. They weren't the part of the original life. They were similar. They were, you know, they were kind of like a part-time. They weren't really a full-time orange. They were citrus. They had a similitude to an orange. You know, but, you know, I would just ask you a question. You know, he is a guide. Do you want him to be a part-time guide? No. Mm-mm. I don't want him to be a part-time guide. Would you like to have a part-time provider or a full-time provider? Part-time. You want a part-time guide or a full-time guide? Full-time. See? You want a part-time protector or would you like to have a full-time protector? Full-time. See? See? Then don't settle for part of his revelation. See? If you settle for part of his revelation, then whatever he is as a guide and as a protector and as a provider is umbilically attached to your level of faith. See? And so we realize that even an unbeliever, this is a true fact. They asked Brother Branham a question. They said, Brother Branham, do you have to be a Christian to be healed? He says, no. You don't have to be a Christian to be healed. You just have to have faith. Brother Branham would say, I've seen prostitutes come in the line and got their healing and a godly sister behind them miss it. He said, you don't have to be a Christian to be healed. Healing only requires faith. He said, but you need to be a Christian if you want to stay healed. See? Because a lot of times under that anointing, it would anoint their faith. They'd believe and get the miracle. As soon as they got out and got away from that anointing and they didn't have a real faith, they look around on the world like Peter did and they begin to sink and it comes right back on them. So see, you don't have to be a Christian to be healed, but if you want to stay healed, if you want to stay in the way, if you want a full-time God, if you want a full-time provider, if you want a full-time protector who'll watch over you all the hours of a day, every day of the year, then you need to be a full-time believer. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Don't make him settle for a part-time allegiance in your heart. Don't make him settle for a part-time service to his majesty. You don't want a part-time God. Don't be a part-time follower. Amen. See, I want to be all in because I want him to be all in. We are in an age for sure where, listen, you need him to be all in. And he needs you to be all in. How many all in people are here today? Say, Lord, I'm count me in. Count both hands and all 10 digits. I want to be in. If you need me to kick my shoes off and raise my 10 toes, I'll do that too. I want you to know, Lord, I'm all in. Hallelujah. Verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. Isn't that beautiful? And an adversary unto thine adversaries. Watch this, verse 23. For my angel shall go before thee. See? My angel shall go before thee. So it was not a man. I want to make this point. It was not a man or even an earthly angel like Moses that was sent to keep Israel in the way. It wasn't Brother Branham sent to keep you in the way. You understand? It's not up to me to keep you in the way. God has sent his person. That's what Revelation 10:1 is all about. That's the beauty of this age. If it were not for Revelation 10:1, then when Paul goes into the book of Timothy, I think chapter 4, and begins to tell about perilous times that would come into the earth, I'm here to tell you, if Revelation 10:1 were not true, then you'd fall victim to the perilous times. It would be impossible to be a player in the epic drama of God. You'd never qualify, and you'd constantly be kicked off the set, but because he descended among us, and the Mighty One is among us, we're not just feeding on doctrine, you're not feeding on a man, Brother Branham said, we're feeding on the body word of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. That's what we're feeding on when we're feeding on this wonderful message. We're feeding upon the Word of God, and it is our stay. See? That's exactly why merely coming to church can't save you. Merely coming to church doesn't give you the token. Merely pushing play doesn't give you the token. Whoever says that, that's nonsense. Pushing play is not the token. The token, first of all, is a person. It's Christ. It's Christ. William Branham was not sent to keep me in the way. William Branham's gone. How do I have a chance? He's gone. And he's not here in some other dimension keeping me in the way. That's also false teaching. The one that is keeping me in the way is the one William Branham introduced me to. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Son of God among us now to keep us in the way. And because that he's keeping me, that's why I come to church. Because he's keeping me, that's why I push play. Because he's keeping me, that's why I open my Bible. Because he's keeping me, that's why I turn my head against iniquity. That's because he's keeping me. My feet don't run swift to mischief because he's keeping me in the way. Exodus is teaching that. Exodus 23 is teaching us that. That it was not, if you read Exodus 20, if you read Joshua 5, who did Joshua, when Joshua saw a man standing there with a sword, he saw a man. And a man had a sword drawn. Joshua did what he was trained to do, drew his sword and went to fight. And when he got there, he had only one question. He didn't care who the man was, where he's from, who his parents were. He said, I just know one thing, you for me or against me? And the man looked at him and said, neither one. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua worshiped that man. Joshua worshiped that man. I can tell you, no student of Moses would have worshiped a man except he knew that man was Almighty God. He knew that when Moses preached this sermon that I'm preaching to you today, that he has sent his angel to keep us in the way. Joshua knew, even when Moses was gone, when the prophet was gone, Joshua knew who God was. God, Joshua knew who was there to fight the battle. It wasn't Moses the prophet. It was the captain of the Lord's army. Hallelujah. And that's who's here to fight our battles, my brother, my sister. Who's on the side of this captain today? Who'll put in with him and draw your sword and be a defender of the word of God and his kingdom? Hallelujah. I love how Brother Dale puts it. He says, give me the word of the infinite sovereign. Amen. Love rings in my heart. Don't give me the word of a man. Give me the word of an infinite sovereign. As that infinite sovereign spoke through every messenger he ever sent, I'll follow that messenger like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because God sent them for that purpose. Otherwise, if God hadn't sent them, then every denomination would be right and say, well, I got a Bible. What do I need with the prophet? Well, then if you didn't need a prophet, why'd God send it? If you didn't need an angel, then why'd he say, I'd send them to you? I'll send to the angel of the church and to the angel of the church. And Paul talks about in the ages to come, he's going to show forth his glory. I'm so glad to be a part of this way, friends. I couldn't be more happy to be a part of this drama. Oh, my. Watch. Verse 23, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt surely overthrow them and quite break down their images. You see, this was... I may have mentioned this previously. I know for sure I didn't go into it. I didn't read this, but I think I alluded to it. Brother Branham comes into the Sardisian church age, and he says, now, in closing our comments on this verse, this is to the Sardisian age in the book of Revelation, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Brother Branham says, I cannot impress upon you too strongly that this age, this is Luther's age, this is the Reformation, this is the beginning of Protestantism. Everybody with me? He says, I cannot impress upon you too strongly that this age, though it brought the Reformation, was most sternly rebuked by God instead of being praised. Now, you'd say, man, imagine if you were standing off hearing his pronouncement against Luther's age. This is the, I mean, if it wasn't for this age, we wouldn't even have Protestantism. You'd think he would just heap plaudits upon them. But instead of praising them, he's rebuking them. See, he's giving them a stern rebuke instead of being praised. Here's why. Because it sowed the seed of denomination that organized right back to the harlot after God had opened the door of escape. It's a principle. Sometimes God opens a door of escape in your life and you escape and you come out. Only you don't come out cleanly and you go right back. You're just like Israel, who got cleanly out of Egypt by the miraculous hand of God, and they got in the wilderness and the way offended them, and they began to covet, and from their heart they began to lust after that life they had back in bondage again. And you go home and read what happened to them people. They were destroyed utterly. They were destroyed without mercy. The earth opened up and swallowed them alive, buried alive. And God even told them, even families had to make a choice. And God said right to them, said, do not stand even near their tents. Moses said, whoever is on the Lord's side, get over here where I'm at. Don't even stand near their tents. And do you know what? There was some of that family of Korah and Dathan who absolutely stood right in the face of their own kin and said, you're wrong, the message is right, and we're going to stand with Moses. And as soon as they got clearing, as soon as God got all of his elected clear, he opened the earth and swallowed them. See? And so he says, you organized right back to the harlot after God had opened the door of escape. When the move away from the Catholic Church took place, it was not truly spiritual as a whole, but more political. Most of the people took up most are not. He's saying only a minority actually followed Luther because of a revelation. Most of the people took up with Protestantism because, as I have stated, they hated the Roman system of political and financial bondage. Thus, instead of being a great spiritual move with all the earmarks of the Holy Spirit influence, as when God used purely spiritual means to accomplish his ends at Pentecost, it was indeed a work wherein the wrath of man praised God, and the results, paralleled the history of Israel when she left Egypt and wandered in the desert, not making it to Canaan land. See, the Jezebel of Thyatira was going to be next. So how when you've had how in the world is that Jezebel system going to survive this Protestant Reformation? It literally broke that whorish system apart. And literally left it scattered, and it seemed like the whole world was running toward Protestantism. They were so tired of the harlot's ways. And yet we find that in the fourth age, there is not only that Jezebel system, not only did she survive, she's stronger. She's now got them in a complete, total dark ages. And she's literally that woman Jezebel, sitting as a queen, just like the original queen. And so how did it happen? He says, the Jezebel of Thyatira was in no mood to give up her hold upon the people. And thus we see her daughter Athaliah raise her head in the Sardisian age, when with the hopes that she would be able to strangle the true seed by her schemes of organization. How did Jezebel survive? How did that Jezebel harlot system survive? Because Luther, that Reformation, became a harlot daughter. Remember he said, I will kill your children with death? Remember Brother Branham picks that up and says, oh, wait a minute, you mean this harlot's got children? Yes, she's got daughters. And they are denominational systems of Protestantism. Denominational systems of Protestantism are literally the harlot daughters. And to find that, all you have to do is go back into the book of 1 Kings. I did a little bit of search on the history. And so Athaliah, which means whom God afflicts was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. She was the wife of Jehoram, king of Judah. That's 2 Kings chapter 8, if you want to read it at home. Walked in the ways of the house of Ahab in 2 Chronicles 21. Called the daughter of Omri. And on death of her husband and of her son Ahaza, she resolved to seat herself on the vacant throne. She actually accomplished it for 6 years. The daughter of Jezebel sat on the throne. See? Herself for 6 years. She slew all of Ahaz's children except Joash the youngest. After a reign of 6 years, she was put to death in an insurrection. That's all second. That goes from 2 Kings 8 through 2 Kings 11. And so we find that's how Josiah came back to the throne. And so that was the physical history of what Satan pulled off spiritually in the church in the New Testament. That how did Jezebel survive to get to the fourth age, to move through the fifth age and on in, was because that Jezebel system survived because she had harlot daughters. That's how she survived. Jezebel's lineage carried on through her children, and they're still alive. So Jezebel is still alive today because of harlot denominational daughters. That is the flat, plain, straight truth of the Bible. Friends, when you look at all of this, I've just never been so happy to be completely free. That this thing, listen friends, this message for me is not a political movement. It's not a theological movement. It's not a social movement. This thing is my whole life. It's my whole heart. It's my whole mind. It's everything, because I realize that what God has done in this day is restore back the original church the apostles created. Hallelujah. The apostles started right there on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the whole church is built on the foundation of the teachings of the apostles and prophets. And so many people, sometimes the fear then becomes, I'm going to start winding down. The fear, becomes that many people sometimes sit right in message churches, but they never really made a clean break. They sit in message churches because they've been convinced of the theology. Because the theology is so easy to prove. Verse for pound, it's the most provable doctrine out there, period, hands down. See? And I've never in my 54 years and 25 years of being a preacher, and before even I was a pulpit preacher, holding public Bible studies at 15, 16 years old. Teaching Sunday school class all the way back when I was just a young teenager. I've never seen anyone be able to confound the doctrines of the message using this book. In all my life, in all my days. Never seen it happen. And it never can happen, because doctrinally, theologically, the message is the one that dovetails the most. Genesis to Revelation. In fact, dovetails completely. And explains every situation. And so we find out that many people sit in message churches because they have been easily convinced of the teachings. But yet they've never made a clean break away from unbelief. All unbelief and all tentacles of the world say, today, Lord, break me free. Set me free. I want to break every chain in my life. I want to be a complete believer today. Amen. See, then you're a message believer. You're not one that has not made a clean break by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the only way you make a clean break. Otherwise, you wander back into worldliness in every aspect of your life. You will, promise you. Unless you make a clean break, you might sit and be, you might, what's that old saying, walk right, spit white, because you're not chewing tobacco. and the other one was don't jump any higher than you live. Don't shout louder than you live. I used to hear all those colloquialisms when I was growing up. But it's the truth. It's the truth. We want to be pure believers. Pure believers. Brother Branham says there in 1965, this is the kind of preaching that got him thrown out. Seat of discrepancy. January 18th, 1965. He said, now we notice that today our churches All of our churches has sowed to the winds and are reaping the whirlwind. We don't have the prayer meetings. We don't have the services we used to have. What's the matter? He's right here among denominations. Right among them. See? What's the matter? We've let down the bars on everything. On everything. And that, and what he's talking about is child's play compared to the bars that have been let down today. They've let down the bars on common sense. They've let down the bars on nature. They've let down the bars on everything. Brother Branham, here he is dealing. He's just dealing with little simple stuff. Look, even to our Pentecostal churches, setting full of bobbed-haired women, say, oh, that's horrible. I would never do that. Well, let's keep reading the list. Used to not be permitted. Painted faces, wearing fingernail polishes, all kinds of stuff like that. Oh, we'll keep reading the list, friends. We'll find you. We'll keep reading the list. This list keeps going. Listen, you say, oh, you know, here comes that clothesline preaching. Well, you need it sometimes. Yeah. We need it sometimes. We need to understand. That's. I don't know that we'll get down to it today. I don't plan to go any further in my expository teaching here on Exodus 23. But you'll hear in another service how that he said, I will set boundaries around you. There are boundaries, and you should thank God for those boundaries. Don't step outside those boundaries because you have no guide out there. You have no provider out there. You have no protector out there. You're a complete target, defenseless target to the enemy. You're going into shark-infested waters and you don't even know how to swim. Flee. Flee the world. Come to Christ. Come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Say today, Lord, fill me. And if you already have it, say, then refill me, Lord. Because every age, every day, every 24 hours gets worse than the one before. And I need a fresh anointing. I need a fresh surge of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Why don't we stand up today? Let's have our musicians come back. And let's just lift up our hands and say, Lord Jesus, today, Lord, we need a fresh anointing, Lord. We need a fresh fulfillment of your word in our lives. We need fresh surge of the Holy Spirit today, Master. We commit ourselves to you today. Lord, I thank you for the word that was delivered today. I thank you, Father, feeling your anointing all the way through. Lord, you're so faithful, you're so dependable, reliable, and loyal to your people. Oh, we thank you today, Master. I love him, don't you, friends? So, Brother Anthony, the song, if you don't mind, that you brought me out on, that you were singing as you turned it over to me, somebody help me. I love you, Lord, in moments like these.
In moments like these.
Let's have some worship now.
I sing out a song.
Oh, my.
I sing out a love song. To Jesus.
Oh, you want to just raise up your hands and close your eyes and sing.
In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to you, Lord.
All together.
Sing.
All together.
I love.
Oh, how
majestic. I love you, Lord. Sing, I
oh, I love you,
Lord. I love
again from the top. From the top, in moments like these, let's worship him now.
In moments like these,
give him the glory he desires today.
I sing out.
Open up your heart and worship him today, friends. That's why he came.
I sing.
He's come here today and helped you and gave you his word. And he's a guide and a protector, a provider for your life. Worship him now. Oh, we worship him.
I lift up,
yes, my Lord.
I lift up my hands to you.
Lord, you're so worthy. You're so worthy of this, Lord Jesus.
I love you, Lord.
they play it softly for me now, just there in the background. Father, we love you today. We thank you for coming. I'm so glad I was able to be here today in your presence. I'm so glad that you brought your word. This world is filled with violence, Lord, and treachery, tyranny on every hand. The feeble are mistreated. The weak are abused. The disadvantaged taken advantage of. It's a dark world, Lord. No hope in sight. Politicians have no answer. Lord, they have no answer. They have no answer. They don't know how to solve the conundrum they find themselves in. It's unsolvable. The tumultuous day, the turmoil of nation against nation, and one region is barely quieted with great effort before another region is in an uproar, and barely can the other one get settled when 10 more are already clamoring. We have, as Paul said, fears without, fears within. A dark way, a darkness has overtaken the world, Lord. The earth has been overtaken by a great darkness. According to the Bible, it would be that way. A gross darkness upon the people, falling upon their eyes, closing off their ears. It's a pitiful case, Lord. Brother Branham said it's pitiful. It's pitiful because they're not only naked before the Lord, but they're blind. And so they don't even know they're naked. And their ears, they have closed. They can't even hear the Jubilee trumpet. They've been bored through, many millions of them. But you also promised a light to your family. When it was all darkness in Egypt, yet there was a light in Goshen. It wasn't the sun's light. That light had been blocked out. It wasn't the moonlight or starlight. It wasn't even a campfire. It was so dark, it could be felt. And yet in that feelable darkness, the Shekinah glory lighted the area for your family. Lord, they only had light as they stayed near that Shekinah. Don't let us wander, Lord. Help from on high today. If there's anyone in here today, and they know, Lord, they know. They know they can't hide from the Holy Ghost. They might can hide from me. They can't hide from you. I'm not a prophet. I'm not standing here with a gift of discernment. I don't know the secrets of their heart, but you do. Maybe they've drifted away from that light and they're wandering around in darkness, or maybe they're just wandering around in the edges of darkness, living a life of dismal light where they can still see the Shekinah glow, but they're not in the full darkness, but they know good and well they're not where it's bright. Help them, Lord, won't you? Help them, Father. Help me, Lord, lest I ever live in that region. Help me, oh God. I raise up my hands today and say, Lord, if I stray near that region, oh God, notify me, rebuke me, guide me back. You promised to be a guide. You promised it, Lord. You promised it. So I'm looking to you now. You said you would take me to the land that you had prepared. I know this means that I have to be prepared, and I'm willing. I say today, Lord, I'm willing. Come what may, whatever it takes, by whatever means you find necessary, make me a prepared person for that prepared land. Help our young and old alike. Help our teenagers. Lord, they face a titanic battle. It's a hopeless battle to fight on their own. They can't resist the world. It's impossible. It's too strong. It's too dark. It's too wicked. It's too evil. All the barriers are gone now. Even the barriers of societal decency are all gone. There are no barriers now. It's in the schools. It's in the politics. It's in the courts. It's in the social circles. It's every form of entertainment is inundated with evil and wickedness and perversion. Help them, Lord. Give them the Holy Ghost. Cause them to seek after you with their whole heart. May they come to their senses, Lord, and realize there's nothing out there for them. Help them, Father. Grow them into strong young men and young ladies, strong in the power of God. Help our marriages. Help our homes. Help our jobs. Help us, Lord, in our church. Dedicate us. Consecrate us, Lord. Give us the sincerity and humility that we need to accept God's provided way for our lives. Not taking our own way, Lord. Enough with that. What is our way accomplished? Nothing but chaos. What has our way ever got us but trouble? trouble with no remedy. We have tribulation as a Christian, but at least we have the remedy. We have trouble, but at least we have the solution. We have questions, but at least we have the answer. Help us, Lord, to realize that. Open eyes. Apply eye salve to eyes today that they may be open and they may see in real color. See the real panorama around them. See the tactic of the enemy that he's trying to woo them here, woo them there. Dilute them here, dilute them there. Contaminate just a little bit here, just enough for a seed, because as it's fed, it'll take root, and as it keeps being fed, then it starts growing, and then it gets stronger, and then it gets fed more, and then it gets much more strong. Oh Lord, the enemy's been playing this thing on your family for more than 6,000 years now, Master. We're ready for a new world. We're ready for a new life. Prepare us, Lord. That's a prepared land. Prepare our hearts for it. Prepare my life. Prepare. Bring whatever into my life is necessary that will prepare me for the next one. I commit it to you, Master, with all my heart, in Jesus' name. Sing, Brother Anthony.
There is no one else like you.
Oh, my.
There is no one else like you, for you are great.
Hallelujah.
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
Not like you at all.
There is no one else like you.
You deserve the glory, Lord.
You deserve the glory.
Oh, worship Him now.
And the honor
be thine, Lord.
Lord, I lift my hands
to worship. Isn't He wonderful?
As I praise Your holy name, You deserve the glory.
And all the honor.
And the honor, Lord, I lift my hands in worship.
Sing it, friends.
As I praise your holy name, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Holy name, for you are great.
the glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory. Sing all the honor and worship as I praise your holy name. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
That's right.
There is no one else like you.
I had a request come in for Brother John Linichek, who's just very sick with a stomach bug, asking for prayer. Also, I got a message from Brother Ken this morning that he is feeling bad. Also, they were out together and today's suffering. Join hands with somebody near you and let's pray. Father, we offer this prayer right now for our Brother Kenny and Brother John, for their families. Lord, may you help from on high. Your children's suffering now, Lord Jesus, and we're calling you on the scene for them. Lord, may they be made well. May they have the touch of Almighty God right now. As a body of believers, we are rebuking the enemy for their sake. Grant it, Lord. May they be well speedily in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, friends. You can be dismissed. God bless you. Sing, Brother Anthony.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, sing, how great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, sing, how great is our God. Oh, sing, how great is our God. Great is our God. Oh, sing, how great our God. To age you stand, time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. God had three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Oh, sing, how great is our God. Oh, sing, how great is our God. Oh, sing, how great. How great is our God. Oh, sing, how great is our God. my life, Lord, be glorified.